to rehabilitate the area so that it functions like a wetland and a stream should function to protect salmon habitat.
The EPA and a Haines property owner come to an agreement, and a local man plans a statewide initiative against corporate personhood. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. A Haines landowner has come to an agreement with the Environmental Protection Agency on how to restore wetlands affected by work on their property. Bob and Nancy Loomis, who currently live in Texas, own the property at 2.5 Mile Haines Highway. The EPA says that work done to approximately 3 acres on the property include adding fill and culverts that affected wetlands and a natural channel of the salmon stream that runs into the Chilkat River. Michael Zerlog is the aquatic resource manager with EPA's Region 10 that includes Alaska. He said the agreement reached with the Loomises will work toward restoring the wetlands and salmon habitat.
Yeah, there'll be a number of things that will be asked to be done. Some will be removed, some of the fill material, and some of it to do some restoration work, particularly in an area where there was some fill put near a culvert and stream. So really trying to rehabilitate the area so that it functions like a wetland and a stream should function to protect salmon habitat.
In the agreement signed on April 17th, the EPA writes that construction activities on the site used heavy equipment to place dredge or fill material in the wetlands on the property, which in turn constitutes a pollutant. Zerlog said activities that affect wetlands or federal waterways need approval and permitting from the Army Corps of Engineers. Since the Loomises did not get a permit for their work, the activity at the property was in violation of the Federal Clean Water Act, he said.
Both EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers share responsibility in managing the Clean Water Act, Section 404, and it deals with anytime you're working in wetlands or other aquatic resources, you really need to go talk to the Army Corps of Engineers to apply for a permit. And typically we ask that, you know, if you're doing any kind of work, to follow through the process that is set up with the Army Corps. And they look at whether or not the work you're proposing is allowable. You first try to see if you can avoid impacting aquatic resources, minimize them, and then mitigate those impacts that you can't avoid.
The agreement requires the landowners to give the EPA a restoration plan for the site within 45 days. The plan should detail how they will remove the fill material from several spots on the property and a plan for fish habitat improvements that includes establishing some native vegetation in the area. The agreement states the work must be completed by October of this year. The owners must also submit monitoring reports on the site to the EPA for the next 3 years. They agreed to pay about $22,000 in civil penalties. The Loomises and the EPA have been trying to come to an agreement on the situation for at least 2 years.
Yeah, I think at this point we're really happy that we're able to come to a resolution on this case. We also want to make sure that we provide the information out there that if you really are going to work in aquatic resources, wetlands, lakes, rivers, streams, that you contact the Army Corps of Engineers to see if you can go through the permitting process. It's a lot quicker and less costly in the long run.
One of the original co-sponsors of Alaska's cruise ship initiative is now setting his sights on corporate personhood. Haines resident Gershon Cohn has developed a civics presentation for high school and college-age students on the principles of democracy. Over the course of 2 class periods, Cohn draws a connection between the democratic values of the framers of the Constitution and the personal values of the students. He then demonstrates how those values become distorted when applied to corporations. Cohn spent this week in Sitka High School. KCAW's Robert Woolsey attended one of his classes and filed this report.
Going back to school again is always a little strange for me. The close quarters, the jostling in the hallways, and the desks seem a lot smaller. Gershon Cohn is teaching in Sitka High's American Government class, and by the standard of my high school memories, he's got the students' full attention for almost 90 minutes. He starts by asking them to list their values, food, home, money, guns, the arts, even video games, and then shows how values are connected.
You know, Sitka is a major fishing community. right? If you don't have clean water in Sitka, you're not going to have a healthy fishery. People aren't going to want to buy your fish. So if you're going to have economic wealth in Sitka, because you've got a good fishery, you're going to have clean water. You can't have one without the other.
Cohen focuses on organizing the values into four different kinds of wealth: economic wealth, like the fisheries, environmental wealth, social wealth, and political wealth. Overall, Cohen is factual and non-dogmatic as he examines the way the framers drew distinctions between privileges and rights and enshrined basic rights into the Constitution. He culminates in an argument that gross domestic product, or our overall economic output, may not be the best measure of our success as a society. When he does drop into opinion, he lets the students know.
I promise you, you will hear this in your life, that there's this balance we have to strike between the economy and the environment. And I will tell you that that I believe that is a total misnomer. That is a false dichotomy, that you can't have a healthy economy without a healthy environment.
This idea was the basis of Cohen's involvement in the 2006 Alaska Cruise Ship Initiative, which passed with 52% of the vote during the August primary that year. Cohen's new program is no less ambitious. What the students in the government class are not hearing is that Cohen is planning another statewide citizen initiative. I asked him about it after class.
Corporations should have privileges. They should have whatever privileges we as people think they should have. Corporations should not have, in my view, inalienable rights, because our government does not give us our rights. Our government simply acknowledges that those rights exist for us because we exist. And that's a tremendous difference.
Cohen and a marine biologist and oil spill activist from Cordova, Ricky Ott, created the school presentation, which they're calling Ultimate Civics. They're also collaborating on initiative language that would affirm that wherever the Alaska State Constitution mentions person, it is a human being exclusively. The initiative is a direct response to the U.S. Supreme Court's 2010 decision in favor of Citizens United. Justices ruled basically that independent political contributions by unions and corporations were a form of free speech protected by the First Amendment. The impact of the ruling was apparent almost immediately. Independent political action committees, or PACs, sprang up overnight, raising and spending huge sums to influence elections. Since there is no challenge to a Supreme Court decision, Cohen believes change will have to come from an energized public.
And in fact, in the polls that have been done since Citizens United, it is well over 80% of Americans, and I'm talking Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, everybody, over 80% of Americans think they made the wrong call.
It's fine that they have powers. It's fine.
Back in class, Cohen continues to trace the threat of human rights from the Constitution to local governments, where cities like Spokane are now drafting their own bills of rights.
It's clear that in Spokane, only natural human beings will have inalienable rights.
Well, they can't really do that, though, can they? Because the corporation rights are kind of a federal thing.
No, actually, they're not federal in terms of the law. They're only federal in terms of judicial decisions.
Cohen went on to suggest that the Spokane Bill of Rights might face a legal challenge all the way to the Supreme Court. They may strike it down, Cohen said, or the court may decide differently. The student is Junior Levi Adams. He came away from the presentation with a strong sense of individual rights.
It's certainly been an eye-opener for me being in this class and hearing him speak about all these issues, and I'm very fascinated. I think he's right that individual rights should have a higher precedent than those of corporations. I mean, certainly I don't know. I'm not an expert on the subject, but it seems like he's making a valid point.
Kayla Lysons and Ryan Morse, also juniors, were thinking along the same lines.
I knew that we had a lot of problems. I didn't think it was, like, that bad. Like, I knew corporations were running the U.S., and I honestly didn't really... I haven't really paid much attention to the government until this year, and so it was interesting to learn more about what's actually happening.
I'd been aware of it previously, like Kayla, but this is kind of a revelation to me and reminded me of all things going on, and he had a great new perspective for me.
Adams, Lysons, and Morse are too young to vote now, but if Cohen's initiative is successful, the timing couldn't be more fortunate for someone to barnstorm high schools discussing civics and individual rights. Cohen says his initiative language will be headed to the Lieutenant Governor's office shortly. If it's certified, signatures would be gathered later this year. The legislature would have a chance during its next session in 2013 to pass substantially similar legislation and bypass the initiative. Barring that, the initiative would go before voters in August of 2014. These three students would be about 19 and eligible to vote. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Gershon Cohn officially announced his plans for a new citizen initiative at a public meeting at Kettleson Library in Sitka Wednesday night. This is Margaret Friednauer for KHNS News. Special thanks to Robert Woolsey for his report. Visit our news section online at khns.org. We're always open to your comments and story ideas, and you can reach us by emailing news@khns.org. Thanks for your support.